have to tell you to come. Come ahead, sir.
You can tell me what to do if you want to.
You're doing it.
All right, I'm doing it, all right. I'll get that on for Josh back there, appreciate that. Oh, appreciate it. Our hope is in Jesus, that's right, yeah. Ready for this family as they get ready to go back to the rock, right? And yeah, up with the snow. I guess Lynn was telling me that the north cuts anyway are getting some snow. And yeah, head back up north. And their trip, we've already, Judah and I were praying last night as he was headed to bed, and we already prayed for your trip, some. So yeah, just the Lord would bless and the traveling back. And yeah, we know all about some of that stuff. So, well, it's good to be here again. My wife is not well today. I told her it's illegal for a mom to be sick. And I was going to have her brought in for that. But no, she was looking forward to coming. She does look forward. We look forward to our day coming to Stratton because it's kind of our day, you know, to travel and visit. And she had to stay back. I brought Judah instead, my son. He's the youngest of the Reisingers, and you pray for him because he's got a whole bunch of sisters ahead of him. And his brother's all the way out in Michigan, so he doesn't have a lot of help at home. But glad to have his company today. And then it's good to have the parents of my grandkids here, whatever their names are. But it is good to have Ian and Natalie and Nora here with their parents, all right? And glad that they were able to come, Johnny and Stephanie. So that's good. It's a good day. We just come through Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? I did peek on the website to see if you had a Thanksgiving message last Sunday. Is that cheating? I felt that the Lord was leading me in that direction, but I also understand it's good to have a steady diet from the Word of God, and it needs to be, there is variety, and when there's variety in the ones that are preaching, I also understand that it can be, you know what I mean, it could have led Brother Reed, I believe it was, last week to preach on Thanksgiving, leading up to Thanksgiving. It looked like he preached on forgiveness. So if I have it right, you haven't had a Thanksgiving message. And this is our chance. Because we can't preach on it any other time but at Thanksgiving time, right? So, no, I know that that's not the case. But it is a good time to focus on that. So, and I felt that that's what the Lord was leading me toward anyway. I know that last time I was here, I started a series. And it's difficult to be a series a month apart. But on the study of the churches of Asia Minor is presented in the book of Revelation. We did the church at Ephesus last time I was here. And I have a message already for the church at Smyrna, the next one. But that'll have to be for another time. So Thanksgiving it is, all right? And I think it's important for us to give thanks all the time, but certainly to focus on that at Thanksgiving time, which we have just come through the great holiday and recognition of that. The world hasn't forgotten it entirely. It is sometimes a little bit breezed by, so to speak, getting ready for Christmas, right? It seems like Thanksgiving fades into the background and then Christmas is the big deal. But that doesn't need to be the case. I'm thankful still for Thanksgiving and that we can focus on just what the Lord has done for us. We can, as Christians, can always be thankful, but it's also good to reflect on the blessings that we do have here in America, in our lives, to be a part of a church, to be a Christian, to serve the Lord. There's just so many things. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving, not just because of turkey and pie. Now, I am thankful for turkey and pie, right? Sometimes together, turkey pie. But I always kid about the chicken casserole. But I don't, maybe it's be turkey casserole today. I got to be careful about that because it might not be. But maybe we'll have leftover turkey in many varieties this afternoon, huh? That'd be great, huh? Yeah, sure. All right. Anyway, But we, you know, those things are fantastic, but we really, really do. And we know that we have a lot to be thankful for. It says, this is a topical message. I just got to give a disclaimer. I'm not all about topical messages. They have their place, I hope, because I'm going to give one. But I'm an expository preacher. I like to dig into a passage, and I could have done that. As many, matter of fact, I have a whole nother message that I was working on and have been working on two at once, and I don't know. I got a lot going on. I like to study and prepare messages. It's just kind of what I love doing that. I like it almost as much as preaching. But so I was working on another one. It would have been more expository. This one is more topical on this whole matter of Thanksgiving. But anyway, by way of introduction, I have my Bible open to Colossians 1, verses 12 to 14. This isn't necessarily has anything to do with the Thanksgiving, but the things that we have to be thankful for. Colossians 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father. And it tells us kind of why. It says, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is what we have to be thankful for all of the time, folks. It says in Colossians 1:13, he who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Listen, that's praise territory right there. We can be thankful that we've been saved by the grace of God. And he's translated us, he's transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Are you thankful to be forgiven today?
Yes.
Well, amen, that's right. We can be thankful for that all of the time. And it doesn't need to be just, these things around Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for apple pie. You know, I'm thankful for sweet potato. I don't know, you're thankful for sweet potato casserole, right? Sure, I like those. I like turkey. But I'm thankful to be saved by the grace of God and to be transferred from being an enemy, enmity with God, and now to being a child of God and the blessings that that brings. And I'm thankful, and we have much to be thankful for. Thankful is full of thanks, right? That's what it means. We're full of thanks. And for all that we have been given in Christ Jesus, and I believe that we must be thankful. So let's pray together and ask God's help as we look into the Word of God this morning. Lord, we are thankful. Thankful to be here at Calvary Bible Church today. Thankful for the Word of God. Thankful for the presence, your presence with us here this morning. And we're so thankful for all that we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, even as we begin to look at the Word of God today, we do ask for your help, and certainly want to pray for each one of us that our hearts would be open to the Word of God and you working in us. Lord, if it be someone here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they don't have the very root of being thankful. Lord, I would pray that you would open their hearts to their need, they'd be saved today. And Lord, I would pray for all of us that, Lord, our focus would be not just on the temporal things, but the eternal blessings that you've given us in Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want us to see this morning is simply the call or command even to be thankful, or the call to thanksgiving and thankfulness. Most of us understand that God does call us. He does command. It is written in the Word of God in many, many places, even as a command. It's an imperative that we would be thankful. One of the more well-known verses in regards to that is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, in everything, what? Give thanks. That's right. That's a pretty simple verse. And it says there in that verse, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the will of God. You ever wonder what the will of God is for you? I have at times, and we search that out, but you know, this verse kind of tells us, for us as Christians here today, is God's will for you and I to be what? To be thankful. To be thankful. So it's interesting, isn't it, to me, that he states that so clearly in the Word of God. Understand that the everything or the all things are those things that please and honor the Lord, right? We're not thankful for sinful things. they're a rebellious, prodigal child. We're not thankful necessarily for the effects of sin on us, but we're not thankful all the time for the point of suffering. And I'll define these things a little bit better. But we can be thankful in them or in the midst of them, enduring hardships. We can always be thankful for what we have in Christ Jesus. So there is a call to these things in everything. And it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what produces the thanksgiving in our hearts. And that's seen throughout the Word of God. There's a couple of passages I think really help us in regards to this. I have my Bible still open to Colossians. We'll move around a little bit, I think. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, this is where I would very easily kind of slip into just the passage, but we'll just breeze over it so we can see it here. Colossians 3 is talking about us as believers. It says, we'll back up even a little bit more. It says, talking about the children of disobedience in verse 6, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in. We were lost, we were unsaved, we did not know Jesus Christ as our Savior. He describes that. And then it says, and have put on, now we've put on the new man in verse 10, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're talking about the new man, those that are born again, those that know Christ as their Savior. And then describing all of that, he works down through the passage. You can read it in its entirety. But down in verse 15 of Colossians 3, it says, and let, because you are a child of God, you let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and what? Be ye thankful. It is just a product, as it were, of the Spirit of God in the new man to be thankful. It's a descriptive word for us as Christians. We need to be thankful. I believe part of the reason that God has me preaching this message today is because this is the work, this is the study that I needed to be renewed in personally, right? Because I believe that we all do. I think once it affects the preacher, it's very easy to preach on it. You know, there are times, being candid, we like to be candid, don't we? Not always. Most of us like to put on the mask and think we got it all together. We show up for church and say, all right, how is everything? We say, oh, fine, liar. And so does the preacher. You think, well, that preacher's preaching on Thanksgiving. He must be the most thankful person out there. Wrong. You see, as we come through the whole matter of Thanksgiving, Lord working in my heart to be more thankful, and it's a product of the new man, the Spirit of God within us through the Word of God. It says that, and we know these verses. We stopped at verse 15 of Colossians 3, but see what it says, verse 16. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, what's the Bible say? Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What? Giving thanks. You see it? It's a product of the Word of God dwelling in you richly. It is something that Christ is doing through us, and it's a call for all of us to be thankful. We see the same pattern over in Ephesians, and we back up just a little bit here, just a couple books. And this is all brought out in the book of Ephesians as well. And we see it in Ephesians chapter, I don't know even where to begin here, but well, it says, begin at verse 18, Ephesians 5, verse 18. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, it's the Spirit of God. We're not to be controlled by alcohol, no, or anything, other substance for that matter. And it says, so don't be consumed with that. You be filled with the Spirit. The result is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then verse 20, what? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess I've dwelt enough on this point, but this is simply put, we see the call or the command, as it were, in Scripture for us all to be thankful. It is made possible by the Spirit of God in us and the Word of God. As we grow in that, we realize what we have in Christ, you see, and that is going to produce in us a heart of thanksgiving. You see it? I hope that you do. So we have the ability to do it by His grace and by His Spirit. It's the call to thanksgiving. But there are, number two, challenges to that, aren't there? There's challenges to thanksgiving. At least I have encountered some, and maybe you pious people have too. Huh? Sure. So we come to the challenges of thanksgiving. As much as we know that we should be thankful, how often do we actually do it? Once a year on Thanksgiving, when we all sit around the table and say, oh, before we can eat, we have to name something that we're thankful for. You know, and us husbands say, well, I'm so thankful for my wife because she just made me this great big dinner. Huh? No, that isn't it. I mean, we are thankful for those things, but it is something that is beyond that, and we do have many challenges within ourselves in regards to that. Anything, Thanksgiving is like anything, and is spiritual in nature. It has challenges. It has conflict. One of those things is certainly the idea of faith. Faith, to obey a command of God. We need to be saved, as we've said, and have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and the grace working in us that's available for us to do it. But we have challenges to that at times in our lives that we would be, therefore, unthankful. We're here in Colossians. I've moved over to Ephesians, but in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says this, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. It's part of our life. As we have received Christ, we're now walking in Christ. We're walking with Christ and in Christ. And it says in Colossians 2, 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving. Now, abounding therein, abounding is that idea of it's overflowing out of us, you see. It's something that is in abundance or in exceeding expected amounts, right? You're abounding in that. And it's thanksgiving that is coming out of that. We have faith, though. Faith, though, is challenged at times in regards to obeying the command to be thankful. What do I mean by that? Well, you say, I don't know. What do you mean? Well, look over to John chapter 12 just for a minute. This is just an example. It doesn't mention necessarily thanksgiving in particular, but it's just by way of example. We would be challenged in our faith to actually obey the command of God to be thankful in all things. I think it gives an example in this in John chapter 12, where you have Mary that has brought a pound, it says in verse 3, a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. I don't know if you say a spikenard, I don't know. You just say that quick and get by it. Very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You know what this passage is, right? So you see this lady that is pouring out this very expensive ointment and anointing the feet of Jesus. Now, everybody in the room was thrilled with that idea. No. You read the passage and you see verse 4, then saith one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He is being critical of that, of her act of worship. Doesn't it show the heart of Judas? Where he is critical of worship. He's not thankful for what she's done, but what Jesus actually praises her, verse 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept us. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Jesus praises her. Judas criticizes her. There's challenges to our obeying the command of God to be thankful because of our faith in obeying that command. Turn over, and it comes to my mind. This is always scary when it just comes to my mind, especially sometimes in my mind. But anyway, it's Luke. I got to remember now. Luke. See, this is where it gets dangerous because what is coming to my mind? Luke 17. That's what it is. The healing of the 10 lepers. The healing of the 10 lepers. It's the same idea. There's challenges here to being thankful because you have these 10 lepers. In verse 11, it said, came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. He passed through the midst of the Samaria into Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. And they met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. You know the passage here as well, I hope. Because he heals the 10. And only one returns to what? To thank him. That's right. The challenge, you see, is in the faith. He says in the end of the passage, verse 19 of Luke 17, he said to them, "Rise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole." You see, all of them had to be thankful for being healed from their leprosy. When you know about leprosy, I mean, they were rotting to death. That's the fact of the matter, kids. It's gross, kids, right? You say rotting? Yeah, they're literally, their flesh was rotting off of their body. That's what leprosy was. And Jesus comes along and heals them. And the only time you ever see anybody really being healed of leprosy is when Jesus intervenes and God is involved. And he tells them to go show themselves to the priest, so we know that they all believed exactly what Jesus had said. There is some degree of faith, but only one man, his faith made him whole, and it means it made him whole completely, not just of the leprosy. Oh, it's a whole nother matter, I know, but it is. There's a lot going on here. There's challenges to our obeying the command of God, and one of them is faith. Faith. Do you have faith today to simply be thankful for what we have in Christ Jesus? The second challenge that we have to our thanksgiving is our flesh. I think that's what's in play here in Luke 17, right? I mean, they were so ecstatic about perhaps being healed that, man, they say, forget all that. The crisis is over. Do you find, you see that? Now let's go and let's get on with our lives. And next time I have a problem, I'll go ahead and get a hold of God again. And some, I remember hearing an old preacher say this one time. I don't remember where it was. But he said, we treat God like an old overcoat, where we hang him up in the closet until we need it again when the weather's bad, and then we get him back out and put him on. And see, the problem is we're thankful when things are going well. But are we thankful when things are going bad? And it's our flesh that's involved. We know that Romans 7, chapter 7, Paul deals with the whole battle and the war that is going on in our flesh. And he says in Romans 7, 18, I have it written here in my notes, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And it's the same battle. He's saying that in general, but it's the same thing with thanksgiving, isn't it? We know that we are supposed to be thankful. The Bible's clear on that. But are we thankful when things aren't going so well? I can admit to you today, like it's some kind of confession or whatever, and you could say this as well, that I have not always been thankful. Matter of fact, I'm not very often thankful when things are not going well. And we find the challenges in my flesh. The Apostle Paul is one that understood that. Turn over to Acts chapter 16 for a moment. And you, again, this is hopefully a well-known passage of Scripture to you, but it is a good example of the heart attitude, the battle that is going on within us. We're going to face challenges. But are we thankful in the midst of them? And it's not always thankful for the challenge. We'll see that in Acts 16. It says, I got to find my place here in the passage as well. Verse 19 kind of introduces it when her master, well, really all the way back to verse 16, you have this certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, so she's demon possessed, so to speak, and then they cast her out. In verse 19, when the master saw that the hope of the gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, so do exceedingly trouble our city." And it says verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. Now we get into the passage, we see what's happening. The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, now get what's happening here. They have their clothes taken off, ripped off. That's exciting. And then they beat them with many, laid many stripes upon them. And they, we could get into that, we won't. But it says, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So they've been beaten, they've been stripped of their clothes, beaten, thrown into prison, and tell the jailer to keep them safely. Then verse 24, who, having received such a charge to keep them safely, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, picture this. Your back is bleeding. Your clothes are gone. You've been put into the prison, into the inner prison. Now you've been put in stocks. That sounds like a fun day at the beach. Amen? Of course not. So, here I am. I'm complaining because, man, this hurts. And, boy, it's cold in here. And I would like to get out of these stocks. And that's exactly what Paul and Silas did, right? No, it's not. You know that, and I know that, and what a convicting example they are to me. It says in verse 25, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You see, if I was thankful, even in the trials, and focused on the goodness of God, what an effect it would have on others around me. There are challenges to this whole matter of thanksgiving. And it is my flesh and my faith that lacks so many times. Oh, God help us in regards to these things. And so they're not thankful in this passage. And I don't believe that they're thankful for having their clothes taken off, thankful for the stripes. I don't think they're thankful for being in the inner prison or even for being in stocks. But they sang praises unto God. They're thankful for Him. That's the difference, isn't it? Well, God help us. And then the challenges in all of this to our challenges to thanksgiving, our faith and our flesh, and then our focus, right? Another powerful passage of Scripture in regards to the Apostle Paul and his thankful heart is found in Acts 27. Focus, meaning our perspective. What side of the trial and the problem are you looking at? This is one of the things, the job that I have currently, my kids are here, so they know I don't like my job, okay? I don't like it at all. And I do complain about it a lot, actually, too much. This is one of the things God is saying, you got to stop complaining about your job. Because there is a good side, okay? It's a job. And it does pay the bills, amen. And it is an income, and God's provided it, you see. And it's, there are good sides to it. There's a lot of bad too. But anyway, you see, it's perspective, is it not? And here in Acts 27, it's our focus. It's our focus. Which side of the issues are we looking at, the good or the bad? And in Acts 27, it gives us this great example of that. And I don't have time necessarily because we have lunch and leftover turkey to look forward to, and we got to get out. But they have this whole thing, beginning verse 13, when the south wind blew softly, supposing they obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete, just gives all of these details. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And here's this named storm called Euroclydon. They're out there on the sea. And I've been on the sea when it's rough seas, and let me tell you, it ain't not fun. And you guys have a ferry crossing to look forward to, I'm sure. Yeah, and bad. You're praying for good weather, right? Sure, but they're out there, and this is happening, and this Euroclydon, and the ship was caught and could not bear into the wind. We let her drive. Listen, a boat, and you're on it in a storm, and you're just letting her drive. It's called letting go of the wheel. And that's not a real good, fun place to be. Anyway, so it says, and it says this as it went on. I think I have it in my notes here, so I better refer to it. Verse 27, it says, but when the 14th night was come, hey, you want to get on that boat? Named storm, and now 14 nights? That's a long one. I don't want to be there. But see, we may have not been on the sea during the storm, but you can look back on your lives, and I can too, when there has been extended trials, and we're going through them. You know what? I hadn't been thankful. We see a different example here in the Apostle Paul, because Paul's on that boat. Luke's on that boat, because he's the author of the book of Acts, and he includes himself in the plural pronouns that are listed here in this. You don't hear a complaint out of Luke. Paul's not complaining because of his focus. He's not focusing on the storm. He's not focusing on the length of the storm or the severity of the storm. He is focusing on the presence of God, the power of God. And God is there with him. And you see that as it unfolds in the passage. Verse 20 is a telling verse. It says, "But when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." They have no hope they're going to make it. That's a tough place. But what does the Apostle Paul do? Look at verse 35. It says, "And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat." I couldn't have eaten. I'd have been so seasick, and that's exactly the point. If you read down through the passage, they hadn't eaten either. And he says, "You better eat, because it's going to get worse." And it did, because they had to swim to shore, right? It was a bad time. But he, in the presence of them all, stands up, and he gives thanks. His focus. The challenges to obeying the command and call of God to be thankful. What was your focus this Thanksgiving? Was it just on the turkey and the pie and the peas? That was a joke, okay, the peas. No, was it just on the temporal things? I trust not. It was in 1636 where Lutheran pastor Martin Rinkard, during the 30-year war, I have these notes in my notes here, says, is said to have buried up to 50 people a day during that war from his congregation or from the town in which he was serving. And it was during the whole thing, I mean, you think about that, up to 50 people. It was the average, they said, during the war of 15 a day, an average of 15 a day. From the city or town in which he was serving. It was in the midst of all of that that he wrote, you have it number 18 in your hymn books, this hymn. It was really a poem that he had written to encourage the people in his church and his town. That you have the basis of this hymn that is now a hymn set to music so long ago. And I have my, according to the dates here, but I had a different 1636, I guess that's right. And it says, he wrote this, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today." Do you see it? In the midst of deep, dark, severe trials, his focus was on the goodness of God, and he was a thankful man. Well, you can read that in its entirety for yourself as well, number 18. Listen, it's our focus. Many of you have probably heard the story of Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy, and that were prisoners of war in a Nazi concentration camp. The conditions were completely inhumane, as we review and understand from history. If you were to read her biography, autobiography, it is amazing what God put them, allowed them to face. The conditions were terrible, filthy, flea infested, and it was Betsy ten Boom that insisted in everything give thanks. And in everything give thanks was God's will for them, even in that place. To Corey Ten Boom, it seemed unrealistic and impossible until she realized that it was because of the fleas and the filth in that prison camp that the guards were not coming in to check on them and they could have worship services and encourage one another in the Word of God. They could be thankful for fleas. Listen, that's the right focus, isn't it? There are challenges to thanksgiving, even amongst the known and clear call and command of God from Scripture to be thankful. The challenges of faith to obey, of my flesh that is very weak, and our focus in the midst of trial. The correction of thanksgiving is number three. I heard a message some time ago now. I don't remember where I heard it, who said it. But he said this, I think it was Tony Miller, I'm pretty sure. But anyway, it doesn't matter. He said, one of the preachers said, all spiritual problems can be corrected by being thankful. That was quite a telling statement, or I kind of questioned it. And I said, all? Come on, all? That's a big word. I mean, all? Is that really, did he really mean what he said? I think he did. Then when I got started thinking and dwelling and then searching the scriptures on it, you know what, I think he's right. Spiritual problems can come from can be corrected by being thankful. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul is again giving this list. He gives them in many places in the epistles that he wrote. In talking about the old man and talking about sinful man, it says, and telling us the things that as followers of God, as dear children, chapter 5 and verse 1 tells, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But, he says, fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, he says, don't do all those things, but instead as a follower of God, as a dear child of God, but rather giving of thanks. You get rid of those things, and instead be thankful. When you observe how he writes, he gives the list, and then he says the opposite of that, as a follower of God, is you need to be a thankful person. Be thankful unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you struggle with worry? Nobody dares answer. Philippians 4:6 tells us, be careful for nothing. I don't know if they say it in Newfoundland like this, but down in the southern part of Nova Scotia, they say nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. I think I've shared before, maybe it was here. I don't know. And when you preach at different churches, you forget what you tell one place and maybe repeat yourself. I don't know. But there was a time in my life that I was really struggling with being careful for everything. When it really, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. And it was when that during that time, the Lord began to teach me, still teaching me, you don't need to worry. Instead of worrying, you need to be thankful and let your requests be made known unto God. You need to pray. So if you're struggling with sin in your life, it says be thankful for what God has done for you. If you're struggling with worry, you need to stop worrying and be thankful, right? You see how it works? This correction, the correction of thanksgiving. Now, the entire homosexual gender identity confusion that is happening in our world today can be corrected and cured with one thing. Well, this may be multiple things, I guess, all on the same track, but turn over to Romans chapter 1 just for a minute. I'm just making a point, I hope, that it's thanksgiving that can correct so much of our thinking, you see. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Do you see it? but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then you read through the rest of the passage, where does it lead? It leads to the confusion that we have in our world today, because we're not thankful for how God made us or who God made us. And we rebel against that. And instead of being thankful, the world is now trying to alter and change that to their likings. You see it? It's a huge point. I'll probably get thrown in jail because of it, right? It's coming a day. The more we preach against it, the more they'll be against us. It's upon us. So many in our world today, including me at times, Lord, this is one of the areas that I think I've gotten better at, I hope. Lord keeps sending me to school, is contentment, right? Being content. You can fight contentment with thankfulness. No, you're not fighting against contentment. I said that wrong, right? You need to be content and be thankful for what you have. Yeah, not fighting against contentment. That was wrong. Luke 12, let me go back to scripture. Luke 12, 15 says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. You're fighting against covetousness with contentment and a thankful heart. You see, more things is not going to make you content. It's not going to. Hey, kids. Say you got a teddy bear at home. What's inside the teddy bear? Huh? Cloth? Fluff. Thank you. I shouldn't understand what you were saying. Sorry. Fluff. Stuffing. Right? That's what it is. Now, that's a teddy bear. What if you get a great big teddy bear? What's inside of it? More stuffing! That's it! That's it! That's all it is! It's filled with more stuff! And isn't that what our world, when we describe, we look at what the people, especially the prosperity of the United States, I don't know if it's elsewhere or not, but I know it's here. We want to fill the void with more stuff. We just get more stuff. And instead our life becomes filled with stuff that is now taking the place of what should be God's. We should be thankful and need to be thankful for the things that God has given us, yes, and be content with that no matter what level of stuff we have, whether it's big stuff or little stuff. Now, I involved the kids there, but now I have to preach. There's a few adults over here, more over here. Let's not fill our lives with stuff. Let's be content, right? And be thankful. Oh, it's so, so important. Anyway, be thankful. Be thankful. The call to thankfulness, the challenges to thanksgiving, the correction of thanksgiving. And we come to number four, the choice of thanksgiving. It's our choice. It's our choice. Time is gone. We need to wrap this up today. But we need to choose to be thankful. God commands it. We've dealt with that. When the challenges come, we must choose to be thankful. Psalm 100, verse 4. You've probably read Psalm 100 at some point during this Thanksgiving season. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Not just on Thanksgiving. Every single day, say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. It's a great thing to do, commanded by God. Psalm 86, 12, David said, I will, it's a choice, I will praise thee, O Lord my God. Pastor Camp used to always say it. You guys may have heard him too. I don't know where you went to church when you were in North Carolina, but you always say, it's a choice or you will. It's a choice or you will. We need to make a choice to be thankful. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I've heard just recently, I was reminded, you know, praising and thanking God is going to be one of our eternal occupations. So we might as well practice now. Revelation chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Folks, we're going to thank him for eternity. In our eternal life, if we're a saved child of God today, we've been born again, our eternal life has already begun. It has. So why not praise him today? Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Bible commentator Matthew Henry. You may have heard this story as well. I'd heard it and I had to find it again. But Matthew Henry had his wallet stolen. And later, as he reflected on what had happened, he said, out of a thankful heart, he said, let me be thankful first because he never robbed me before. Second, because although he took my purse, he did not take my life. Third, because although he took all that I possessed, it wasn't that much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I that robbed. Yeah, it's the choice of thanksgiving. The call or command of thanksgiving is given to all of us. The challenges to thanksgiving, we've seen them. The correction of thanksgiving, it will correct a lot of problems, if not all the spiritual problems in our life. The choice of thanksgiving is ours. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for this focus again on this whole matter and topic of thanksgiving. Lord, there may be some here today that, you know what, so for one reason or another, many could be given, I'm sure. They've failed, as I have failed so many times, to be thankful. And Lord, I pray that as we've seen again and reviewed this whole matter, I pray that our hearts have been turned again and renewed to a heart and a desire to give thanks for all that we have in Christ Jesus. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would leave here perhaps with a new and renewed resolve to be truly thankful. We'll praise you in Jesus' name.